The authors say there are relatively inexpensive and even traditional ways of reducing new infections. One is male circumcision, a practice that they say has already kept infection rates low in places where it's common. Washington Post journalist Craig Timberg explains why the disease has made less of an impact in some parts of Africa than others. He made his comments on a recent broadcast of Book TV on the C-SPAN television network.
As transport routes improve, as human movement continues to become more efficient, HIV makes its way over into East Africa, into Rwanda, Uganda, the parts of Kenya that are closest to Lake Victoria. And in those places, men aren't circumcised. And that's because they are from a different ethnic tradition. Rather than coming over from sort of Nigeria and West Africa, they came from the Sudan and down the Nile Valley. And so you have millions of men who aren't circumcised. And so when the virus makes its way into that population, suddenly you get this explosive kind of spread. And so instead of an infection rate of 1 or 2% of adults, you see 10, 15, in some places 20% of adults.
Among those hardest hit, he says, are the Luo ethnic group in Kenya and the Zulu in South Africa, both which do not practice male circumcision. Timberg says the international community responded slowly to studies showing that circumcision was effective. They showed a preference, he said, instead for high-tech solutions to treat those infected with HIV. But that's changing. He told an audience at the Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia.
The male circumcision science, from my point of view, only gets stronger with each passing year. As they follow up these guys who were circumcised, you know, back in sort of 02, 03 for these landmark studies. And first of all, they've now done 3 randomized controlled trials, the absolute gold standard of medical research. In all 3 of these cases, they shut the trials down early because the men who were not circumcised were getting HIV so much faster than the men who were circumcised that it was regarded as is no longer ethical to keep those trials going. And in the years since that happened, as they've done long-term follow-ups, where they at first were saying, well, maybe it's 60% protective, as the years pass, the protection goes up 70%, 75%. So it's almost hard to imagine any bit of medical research that's any clearer than this.
Besides circumcision, Timberg says several countries have mounted effective campaigns to change behavior. He says new infection rates dropped in several countries, including Uganda and Zimbabwe, long before the availability of life-prolonging drugs. In Uganda, a campaign by the government of President Yoweri Museveni appealed to public fear and compassion. It included billboards with skulls and crossbones, war drums, and a commercial featuring the voice of a young girl urging her father to be faithful. The campaign also urged the adoption of what was called zero grazing. It encouraged men and women to restrict their number of partners.
That when a goat is staked in front of it at a homestead and he grazes in that spot, it looks like a zero because he can only go so far. And this was a message that was really clever in part because even if you were in a polygamous marriage, zero grazing worked for you too. As long as the sexual activity was happening within the homestead, that was fine. Mm-hmm. So what they saw in Uganda was this decline over the course of about 5 years in the average number of sexual partners that people had.
Timberg says Zimbabwe and Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo, also had their own effective grassroots reactions to the threat of HIV/AIDS. Timberg says about 12 years ago in Zimbabwe, an economic crisis exacerbated by a controversial land reform program meant less money for men to spend in bars and on girlfriends. More importantly, civil leaders and even pop stars started the country talking about the only way to avoid infection and death, changing sexual behavior.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabweans, shunned and ignored, have this drop in HIV cases. In Zimbabwe, as in these other places, you actually have a singer, Oliver Ntukudzi, who's a lovely guy and lost, I think, brother and 4 band members in the span of about 16 months. And he sings a very famous song, the English translation of which is What Shall We Do? So it was less kind of preachy than some of the other songs that some of the other African singers had put together over the years. But it does seem to have been part of this conversation that Zimbabweans were having with one another about what to do about this terrible disaster.
Tinberg says that international health surveys in Zimbabwe showed that between 1999 and 2005, the number of married men reporting sex outside of marriage dropped by 30%. The adult HIV rate dropped from a peak of 29% by half. Tinberg and Halperin say promoting behavior change as well as male circumcision is much less expensive than some other approaches and have roots in local culture. If men and women living amid severe epidemics dial back, even modestly, their numbers of sexual partners, say the authors, the vast network created by multiple and concurrent relationships collapses, and the virus that causes AIDS, HIV, finds it harder to find new victims, and everyone in the community, they say, will be safer. I'm William Eagle in Washington.